Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to Power Athlete Radio, a podcast dedicated to empowering your performance every damn day. Join former NFL pro and Power Athlete founder John Welborn as he dissects the greatest minds in strength, conditioning, and more. So whether your goal is to be the hammer, destroy mediocrity, or simply move the dirt, you've come to the right place. Now with the warm-up done, let the gains begin.
All right. Hey, welcome to Power Athlete Radio. I am joined today by Mr. Jay Campbell, peptide extraordinaire. And it sounds like a pretty interesting deal. As I was going through your bio and the books and all the information that you guys sent over in like a little press packet, it is a lot to take in. And I'm excited to dive right in and figure out, like, you know, what are peptides? How do they work? Like, why is it now a core part of health optimization? And I feel like every time, you know, and I train athletes, pro athletes, and, you know, do a bunch of jujitsu stuff. And it's pretty interesting. Guys get banged up in jits. And the first question they ask is, what about BPC? What about TB500? And that, you know, peptides have really filled in where people used to just take a Aleve and Tylenol or maybe throw some ice in it. So I'd love to just get in a little bit and kind of understand how you got involved in it all. And let's go.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. So first off, thank you for having me on the show. Appreciate the opportunity. I'm always privileged, humbled, and honored to talk to people about the things that I love. So I have been literally personally using peptides since 2004, which is pretty insane considering that most people, well, I can actually give you the statistics because I'm being filmed in a documentary right now that within probably a year will be massive and everybody will know about it. But the statistics right now worldwide for peptides is less than 3% of people in the West, so in the first world, even know what a peptide is. And the amount of people using peptides, and this is brand new data, by the way, is less than 1% in the world. So it's like, it's actually an infinitesimal percentage of people. So when you and I, and athletes and people like that are blessed to understand these things, to use these things, to talk about the BPCs and the TB500s, I mean, we are a very select company. So this is, when you say this is a blue ocean opportunity, that's what we're in right now. And, you know, very honestly, peptides are what I call fundamental root cause healers, and that they can address whatever it is like that's going wrong in you systemically. You know, you were talking about your jiu-jitsu athletes, you know, getting banged up or bruised or tearing a tendon or spraining a ligament or something like that. You can use peptides, which are organic signaling molecules, I call them biomolecules, fractionated proteins, to address the actual injury and heal the injury at probably somewhere between 5 and 10 times, you know, faster than you would naturally, which would just, as you said, you know, initially would just be time and wrapping and, you know, heat, ice, elevation, rest. So they're really truly amazing. You know, when I say 5 to 10 times as fast, the difference is that the obviously the person's conditioning, the person's diet, you know, there's obviously a little bit of a genetic component and stuff like that, but you really do see healing that can be as up to like 7 to 10 times faster than not using them. But again, very few people understand these things. There's not a lot of human data from studies standpoint. The Russians have been using peptides and bioregulators for 50, 60 years, and they do have a lot of empirical data. But you got to use AI to translate Russian and Bulgarian training manuals to actually see the stuff. But there is data, you know, worldwide. And like I said, there's plenty of people like myself who've been using these things for close to 3 decades, or, you know, in the process of 3 decades. And there's very little side effects. You know, you could probably inject an entire vial or 2 vials of a peptide, and the worst that you would feel would maybe be a little bit of nausea, and maybe have a little bit of like irritation at the site of injection or red bumps or something like that. But I've never known anybody in all my time, and I know a lot, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of people that have experimented with these things, who've ever gotten seriously sick or injured or anything like that. And again, you know, if they did observe the side effect, it would be like mild nausea or site irritation or something like that. But they truly are wonderful, you know, root cause healing products, and they represent what I would call like a fundamental attack at allopathic / illness medicine, which, you know, really doesn't unfortunately address the root cause of any disease, but, you know, tends to band-aid the symptoms.
So you brought up that there's some genetic differences that would necessarily facilitate whether or not the peptide was like effective or efficient, let's say. And then also some physiological stuff, whether it be, you know, body composition, age. So like, what are some of the extraneous factors that are working in that would make taking peptides beneficial versus maybe not beneficial?
It's a great question. Cellular health is the number one thing. And most people, not your athletes and not the people that I've worked with, but most people in society today have absolutely horrific cellular health. Mm. They're dumpster fires. Their bodies are highly inflamed, lots of visceral fat, you know, lots of cellular degradation. It's not good. Right. So like when a person like
I'm going to try to get a tricep shot right in there. So a little cellular, a little tricep.
hold on, let me flex.
Yeah, there you go.
When a person like that injects a peptide that is again rooted in cellular health as far as how it's going to address the issues, they're not going to get as good a response as somebody who has better cellular health, somebody who is less inflamed, who has more muscle and less body fat, you know, who sleeps better and is most likely hormonally optimized. I mean, that's like the number one thing I tell people, like, you know, and I don't want to like rabbit hole on this because there's a lot that we can talk about, but like, you know, the biggest news about peptides in the world right now is GLP-1 peptides or yep. GLP-2s or GLP-3s, which are obviously appetite suppressing, metabolically enhancing peptides. And there's very few people that know more about this than I do, but if you're not hormonally optimized and you use a GLP-1 peptide, you better have amazing genetics and amazing training strategy and eat enough protein, or you are going to suffer catabolism. You're going to have muscle loss. That's how effective the peptides are at, you know, either increasing metabolism, suppressing appetite, sometimes both. And so if you're not hormonally optimized to give you that, you know, slight anabolic signal that you get when you're hormonally optimized, you're likely going to lose muscle and risk all the negative side effects that you hear about in the media. So that does happen all the time. So your question is a great question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that question on a podcast, so credit to you for asking it. But for sure, healthier people are going to see and notice and feel a much, you know, a more acute response to taking specific peptides, whether they're for the mitochondria, whether they're for GH growth hormone agonism, you know, whether they're for healing, whether they're for cognition enhancement. That's always going to be noticeable. And I would say that the majority of people who say peptides don't work are cellularly unhealthy people that just cannot, you know, because they're so inflamed and their cells are just so broken and they have so much negative stuff going on, senescent cells and all that stuff, that they just can't get that effect that a more cellularly healthy person does.
If time is the enemy, Grindstone is your weapon. It's the most flexible training program in the power athlete arsenal. Built for boardroom warriors, sleep-deprived parents, students burning the candle, and athletes with their axe to the grindstone. Grindstone delivers high-impact strength training with minimal time demands. So when life gets chaotic, your progress doesn't fall apart. Consistent, efficient, built to keep you strong, lean, and resilient, no matter what's on your plate. Claim your 7-day free trial at powerathletehq.com/grindstone and take the fight to Father Time. So to facilitate this effect, you'd have to make sure that one, you know, full workup, make sure that people are healthy, but then also figure out, I mean, what it sounds like is you're talking about metabolic flexibility. You know, the more muscle you can carry in relation to body fat is a great indicator of your intrinsic health and really just like a hormonal state and, you know, the metabolic flexibility, your ability to switch between both fat and carbohydrates is an incredible indicator. But if you're lean and jacked, it tends to work. If you're fat and inflamed, you know, I mean, fat's oxidative, muscle's extremely insulin sensitive. So it sounds like if the environment, and you're already training and doing all these things and big aerobic base and, you know, go back to all these, like the peptides can be extremely effective.
I mean, yes. I mean, the best way to say it is this, is that the lean, and this is fundamentally statistically proven by the science, the leaner you are, the longer you will live. Now, obviously, if you get hit by a train, right, or step outside your house and get shot, I mean, you can't, you know, obviously, unforeseen circumstances are always possible, but it's just a fact. I mean, you know, I get into this debate, this conversation with you know, numerous people, especially on the clinical side of things, because they don't look at inflammation in the way they should. But like, the reason that physical bodies die is due to inflammation. Inflammation causes cellular degradation. The cellular degradation becomes one of the diseases of aging. Name one, right? Heart attacks, you know, type 3 diabetes in the brain, neurodegenerative, Alzheimer's, dementia, Lou Gehrig's, any of those. Obviously, type 2 diabetes of the cells is the worst. You know, that's the human dumpster fire. And then all of that over time, you know, again, causes the cellular degradation that leads to one of those diseases. Cancer is one of them. So it's like, if you are a lean person, it's highly likely that you have a effective cardiovascular architecture, again, from your training, from your conditioning, from being muscular, from being insulin sensitive, all the things that you said. So yeah, there's no doubt about it. But I mean, it really is a great question. I'm glad you asked it, because like I said, very few people ask those questions. But I should say that there are some peptides, even a cellularly unhealthy person would still see some form of a response, and they would feel something and, you know, notice something. But again, healthier people cellularly are going to always see a much more pronounced effect or response.
This episode of Power Athlete Radio is powered by Train Heroic, the most immersive strength training app experience on the market. We've built an online training business by partnering with Train Heroic to deliver all of our world-class training programs like Jack Street, Hammer, Field Strong, and Grindstone. To learn which Power Athlete training program best suits your goals, head to powerathletehq.com/training. And if you're a coach looking to build a business with the best training tech in the business, head to trainheroic.com/powerathletehq. And now back to the show. So you brought up GLP-1s. I mean, they are all over. We've done podcasts on them. I've had doctors come on. I mean, now they've gone from, you know, Ozempic, and now there's, I think it's tirzepatide. So it's like a you know, handles three hormones.
There's stuff way better, by the way, already. Way better than those two.
Awesome. We'll dig into that. But people have asked me about it, and I had a guy on the podcast recently who has lost a ton of weight, in good shape, and he started kind of microdosing it just for the fact that he has terrible food noise. And he's like, I'm like obsessed with food. For me, I don't really have food noise. Like I can be hungry and I'm not craving food. So it's a different thing that I didn't necessarily know. I mean, you got to have a little empathy to be like, he's like, I have this constantly running in my mind that I'm hungry, and it literally stomped it out. And I thought, man, I can't imagine to feel that monkey on my back and then all of a sudden get that released. But the interesting thing, and this is what we're seeing, is people are losing just a ton of weight because they're either getting a little bit greedy and they don't want to go out slowly, or the fact that they're not eating a high protein diet like you brought up, and they're not lifting weights and doing something that would preserve and try to maybe potentially build muscle. But on a like hormonal level, I mean, obviously it's getting rid of the food noise, it's ramping up metabolism, and it's making people, I guess, turn off, I guess, like the add satiety, like a satiety to their life, where like they feel full quicker.
It slows gastric motility, so that enhances satiety.
So I mean, it's working in a lot of different ways, but is there anything else on the cellular level that it's doing that we don't see, that we just haven't established?
Well, you haven't seen it, but the science and studies have seen it. I tell people this, it's a very sick conundrum, because the average person on the street thinks that the GLP is a poison. And you've got lots of celebrity doctors and celebrity people glomming on to that idea, where the reality of it is, and again, this is borne by the studies, they're single-handedly the greatest interventions in the history of medicine. They're better than penicillin. I mean, I tell people this all the time, and again, I coach people and I work with some of the top people in the world on this kind of stuff. And, you know, my company is manufacturing products that are going to literally change the world. Within 2 years, there will be pro Olympia bodybuilders who will be on stage at 350 pounds and 5% body fat.
Well, I think Nick Walker, as I was doing a little bit of research on the GLP-1s in preparation for this, he takes it.
There's tons of guys. But what I'm saying is that what you and I see now is nothing in compared to what's coming, because there are stage 4 and stage 5 agonists. And when those come out, they're myostatin inhibiting, follistatin preserving. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that will literally allow people to get completely in shredded contest condition, but at the same time build muscle, right? And obviously the genetic variants are going to be the ones that are going to look the biggest and be the leanest, but it's just all like kind of like, I would say, futuristic stuff. It's like the whole, you would never 10 years ago have imagined that we would be in this realm with these kind of drugs, allowing people to change their body composition and modulate their body composition in such a fast way, and also do it from a very effective health perspective long-term. And what I mean by that is that, so I've been personally using GLP-1 and 2, and now GLP-3, which is retatrutide, for close to 5 years. I started in late 2020 during COVID. And obviously I've been experimenting on and off. I've been doing this kind of stuff for really 25 years of my life. But the newest products they actually enhance longevity markers. And what I mean by that is I've had my labs now 5 times since the end of 2023. And every single time my HDL is improving. All my inflammatory markers have been pushed to the floor. Like, I have no inflammation in my body. Cellularly, biological age is going down. I mean, these things are doing so many great things. Now, granted, I live a very pristine life. I don't drink alcohol. Keep my body fat below 10% year round. I mean, I'm 54 years old. So there's a lot of things that I do, epigenetically to keep the drugs that I'm using, meaning the GLP-1s, and obviously I'm hormonally optimized, and I use growth hormone agonist peptides, and I use growth hormone itself. And, there's a lot of things that I do to keep myself looking and conditioned the way that I do, but there's no question that these drugs enhance longevity. And again, I'm living proof to that. And I also know hundreds, if not thousands of people that have been using these and also seeing the same correlative effect in their biomarkers. So like I said, going back to the original, if these are used correctly, and you kind of defined what correctly is, I actually have a landing page where I call it the 10 commandments of GLP-1 use. And, just to not go down all 10, because some of them are kind of esoteric, but there's you set them. I mean, it's basically like, number one, are you eating enough protein? Or number two, are you performing resistance and cardiovascular training? And number three, realistically, are you hormonally optimized? Whether you're using therapeutic testosterone or you're just doing things from a lifestyle adjuvant, to keep your hormones up, those are the three primary things that you have to do when you use a GLP, because they're so effective. But I mean, again, dude, 95% of society is not doing those things. Mm-hmm. And they're using these GLPs and they're having all the side effects, the Wegovy face, the Wegovy butt, the Wegovy neck, the muscle loss, the catabolism, the thyroid damage, the metabolic derangement. All of these things are real and they are all being shown in society, but it's also due to, poor advice, misinstruction, the clinician not giving them the correct data or the correct inputs to tell them what to do. And then obviously you've got to also blame, the easy button lifestyle of people today who don't do anything. Sure. They don't exercise, they don't eat right, they don't perform, go to the gym and lift weights and stuff. So like all of those things have to be factored in, but the side effects of all of the GLPs are, again, overblown, and I would call them misunderstood because of the poor use case of most people using them.
So is that coming from the doctors, or is it just the fact that people can't follow directions and take the medication, and that what it sounds like is that the GLP-1s work in synergy with a healthy lifestyle, right?
Yes.
Exercise, aerobic work, and basically, like you said, hormone optimization, but also not eating like an asshole.
Exactly. Look, it's a great question. If you're a conditioned gym bro, these are the greatest tools ever. Right? Because you already eat right. You already, like you said, you're metabolically flexible. You're exercising, you're lifting weights, you're doing cardio. You're probably hormonally optimized. Hopefully you're sleeping well, or at least attempting to get 7 to 8 hours of deep polyphasic sleep every night.
Man, sleep the last week, I've been going, and I'm just telling you a little side note. For some reason, I always go to bed between 9:30 and 10, knocked out 4 a.m. Like either I'm getting a cortisol dump. So we've been doing a little bit of conditioning, so my fighter Victor Hugo is going to fight in the CGI, which is the big one in Vegas coming here in August. So we've been in camp. And so I've been dieting and training, and we're just doing a bunch of stuff. And so all of a sudden my body fat's getting pretty low. Yeah. And so at that point we started kind of ratcheting calories back to see how low we could get it. I'm not kidding you. I go to bed at I lay down about 9:30. I'm asleep by about 9:45, 4 a.m., literally 3:59. I feel like I get a cortisol dump and somebody kicks me in the pants and I shoot right out of bed. Like,
I mean, it might not be a cortisol dump though. I mean, I don't know if you're tracking your sleep. If you're sleeping deep, dude, see, I tell people this all the time. The amount of time that you sleep is meaningless. It's the amount of time that you're in four and third levels of sleep. And so if you're sleeping for 4.5 to 5 hours in REM, dude, you don't need more than 6 hours, right? I mean, that's the problem. Most people never sleep consistently.
I think I'm getting...
You wake up, go back. Wake up, go back.
Oh, yeah. No, I knock. I think I got... last night was kind of shitty, but I think I got like an hour and 21 of REM. And I think I got like 55 minutes of deep, which is on the lower side. I'm usually about 2 hours of REM, and I usually get about an hour and 15 of deep.
That's what I say. It's like if you're 2.5 to 4 or 2.5 to 3.5 hours of REM and deep, that's all you really need. And honestly, too, like very driven, motivated people who are lean aren't going to sleep as long as people that are cellularly inflamed. I mean, a cellularly inflamed person can sleep for 9 hours in a row.
Wow.
You know, their systems are not firing and wired to have them. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to sleep 9 hours consecutively, but they can just like lay in bed and pass out and wake up and pass out and wake up.
No.
You know, so sleep is one of those weird things. But dude, the other thing I would tell you too right now is like the energy of the earth is insane. Like I'm all into the woo-woo and like right now that we're in Mercury retrograde, I think we come out on Wednesday, but like my wife and I are like super sensitive and like our sleep, we have like the most amazing bed and like we sleep blackout and we have no Wi-Fi and, you know, we're like dorks and with all that stuff with like, you know, mitigating EMF and stuff like that. But the last week we have not slept well and both of us are like waking up, you know, like, Jesus.
Yeah.
So I know
something's going on in the world
now is going through some crazy energy shifts. Like, so a lot of people are definitely not sleeping well, but I mean, I would say you might've had a cortisol. I mean, and obviously the lower your body fat, the less likely you're going to sleep, you know, super, super well. Cause obviously everything is firing, but, you know, I wouldn't like automatically say that it's due to cortisol.
Yeah, no, I was, got online and I was kind of looking at, reading some stuff about bodybuilders closer to their show. And like all of a sudden, once the body fat gets down, you know, sub 10, 8, 9%, and they're like, you know, in a deep cut and they're super hungry, that they end up getting some like, you know, and the guy made a funny point. I think he called it a hunter gatherer brain, where like at 4 a.m., you know, something instinctually kicks you out of bed to go kill something and go eat. And I thought that was pretty interesting. But yeah, I've experienced that the last week.
Well, that's why GLPs changed the game, because GLPs eliminate that. So that's why I'm telling people, like, the whole idea of what bodybuilding competition used to be. And I, you know, I was a competitive physique athlete I lived that life for 4 years of my life, and I did really, really well. I won like 3 shows. I actually did Model America when I was 40 years old in Vegas, which is like the big, it was right before physique blew up. It was in 2010, and Model America was like, it was the biggest event in the world, and I finished top 10 in the world. And there were a lot of guys that ended up winning the Olympia physique after that were behind me. You know, so that's kind of my claim to fame. But I won some shows and stuff like that, and I lived that life for 4 years. But the reality is that then and now are two different ways and two different lives. And like smarter guys in the bodybuilding realm are using GLPs to not have to be comfortable with hunger, because you don't have to feel any hunger, and you can get absolutely peeled and diced and do it very easily. Now, again, you got to have a good coach. You got to have somebody who really knows how to use these things. But there are people out there, and I talk to them, you know, pretty much weekly, that are doing this. And, you know, they consult with me and say, hey, can I do this with this athlete or whatever? But there's no question that, like I said, in the next 2 years, we're going to see the sport of bodybuilding and performance enhancement produce athletes that are so prodigious that you'll be like looking at them and you'll be like, remember when we first saw the bull with the myostatin inhibition and it was just that giant? That's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at humans that are literally 350 pounds and 5% body fat, you know, and that's what's coming. So, you know, it's interesting. I think it's exciting. I think it's fun. You probably know the enhanced games are coming too.
Yeah.
You know, so we're getting to a world where it's like, you know, winner take all, you know, like let the best, biggest, baddest, leanest person win. And I think that's where it's coming. And again, these drugs, I mean, dude, I could tell you if you want to talk about it, you know, I don't want to rabbit hole from the questions you want to ask me, but there's stuff that is in the pipeline that's insane.
Yeah. No, let's talk about it. I mean,
well, let me tell you about this drug. It doesn't have a name yet. It's just a CAS number, but there is absolutely a drug. It's the Holy Grail. It's an injectable peptide. It's actually, it'll be sold as a peptide, but it's a small molecule. And there is a difference between small molecules and peptides and like the amino acid chain sequence. But this peptide/small molecule, you can literally inject it into stubborn fat, and it literally liquefies and causes apoptosis of the cells, whether they're visceral or sub-Q fat, and they're gone. It's gone in less than, it's 36 to 48 hours it's gone from your body. You either wow. pee it out or defecate it out. It's insane. Zero side effects, no necrosis, no sores. The only thing that some people are reporting in like the stage two trials is that there is a little tiny bit of site irritation. But I mean, you have people that inject peptides that complain of site irritation. I've been using peptides for 21 years and I've never had site irritation.
You know, my
your sensitivity.
My first experience with peptides is when I retired from the NFL, I worked for CrossFit and we were teaching seminars all around the world. And I was in Vegas actually for a seminar and I walk in, it's 8 a.m. We're getting ready to start. And there's a dude sitting in the front row with his shirt off. And the guy was jacked. I mean, old, like probably guy in his 40s and pretty jacked. But he was so fucking tan. That
he's jacked and tan, John. Oh,
I mean, dude, but like not like a tan. I grew up in Southern California, so did you. Like a level of tan that the only time I've ever seen that is like bodybuilders before they step on stage when they get painted.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right. He was using melanotan too. And well, he was dark as hell.
Oh, dude, it was crazy. Like his eyelids were dark. And like I stop and I'm like, are you fine? Like, did you paint yourself? Like, what the fuck is going on? And he's like, he stands up and he's like, yeah. I'm like, and mind you, we're in Vegas. It's 8 a.m. at like.
What year was this? How long ago was this?
Oh, man, 2010, 2011.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, dude. That was like right when melanotan 2 was making the rounds.
Oh, yeah. He stood up and he's like, man, this stuff's incredible. I'm super tan. I got a fucking heart on all the time. And like, he literally like went on this. I was like getting ready to teach his seminar on like, you know, what we do at Power Athlete and CrossFit football. And this dude like completely derailed me. And it's fucking crazy. But that was really the first time. And then he was talking about,
you remember who the guy was? Was he like a pro bodybuilder?
No, he was some rich dude from San Diego. He had brought his trainer his son was a high level football player and he hired a personal like coach for him and he brought his coach to us to learn our method so he could use it. But man, this dude just literally posted up in like a set of shorts, flip flops, no shirt, and like did the entire seminar for 2 days shirtless with the fucking craziest tan I've ever seen. And then the next time I heard about it was Mark Bell, I think, injected too much and turned himself into Barney and he was purple. But like that was really the first time I had heard about peptides. And I thought it was incredible for the fact that like, you know, skin cancer is a real deal. And for most people, if they just went out and they microdosed the sun, like if you go out for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you end up developing a layer and then you don't deal with it. The problem is people don't go outside and then they go out in the sun, they get fucking fried and then they have problems. And then they wonder, oh, you know, sun causes skin cancer. I'm like, no, the fact that you're inside like a piece of veal and not doing anything, as you know, you grew up in, you know, you're from California too. When we were kids, there was no like suntan lotion or any of that shit. So my mom would be like, go swim in the pool for 10 minutes and then get out. And the next day it was 15 and 20. And she would kind of like microdose it in. I'm going to use the term microdose. We weren't using it then. It was just like, you know, tritrating it. And, you know, and then by the time summer hit, you know, you never got a sunburn and you were super tan.
Yep. No, I mean, it's all true. I mean, it's interesting because, how would I say this? Like, back then, melanotan 2, we didn't know about it. Melanotan 2, so both of the melanin cortoid receptor complex peptides are melanotan 1 and melanotan 2. I do not recommend anyone use melanotan 2. In fact, my company doesn't sell it. We just sell melanotan 1. Melanotan 1 is actually an FDA-approved peptide. It's called berlaminatide, and it's available. It's just super expensive. Obviously, if you get it from the research chemical world, like we sell it, you know, it's much cheaper and much more effective and affordable because it's super expensive to get it on a clinical side of things. But unfortunately, melanotan 2 now, what we know is that it can enhance, I won't call them cancers, but it can enhance moles. So if you have like darkened moles on your body, it can increase the rate that they come out and express. Which obviously can lead to melanoma and can lead to that time to form cancer. It also can cause extreme nausea. Like a lot of people that use melanotan 2, bro, they basically start convulsing and dry heaving because it causes an incredible mast cell reaction, nausea. And you don't want to do that, experience that. And I've known many people, myself included, that have experienced that, it does increase erectile sensitivity, so that you can get, you know, what I would call, like, I wouldn't call it priapism type erection, but you can definitely get an erection from it. And again, if you're one of those people, that guy probably was one that is like a what I would call it, an elite responder to it. You know, all you get is the benefits. You get darker and erections and you get no nausea. And so he was probably one of those people, but the majority of people that use that peptide have issues with it. And like I said, I've known people that have injected it one time and the next day they had like dark moles on their back and they're like, dude. So it's like, you gotta be really, really cautious with it. That's why we don't sell it. We don't promote it. I mean, again, if you're a bodybuilder and you wanna get competitively dark, like Mark Bell, who's also a good friend of mine, and look like an Oompa Loompa.
Mark, you know, did look like an Oompa Loompa. Stage,
yeah, yeah. So you look like an Oompa Loompa, it literally darkens you orange, then you know, then it's fine. But again, if you are somebody that's a bodybuilder and you're wanting to use it, like obviously for your last days, getting on stage and be as dark and complected as you possibly can, you just have to really learn how to microdose it because it is effective for those things. But for all the other reasons, I tell people to avoid it.
So for what you do and the clients that you work with and the books that you write, the idea of living a fully optimized life, that was one of the key phrases that I pulled out as I was doing research on this. Can you really get in, like, give me like a deep dive on like living that fully optimized life? I mean, it's, like I said, just, you know, ancillary, we talked about, you know, carrying a lot of muscle, being able to move, lift weights, like live, like what is like the full breadth of that look like?
It's a great question. So fully,
man, I'm asking good questions today. I must be on fucking on point.
Optimized is how I phrase it now, is basically a person who lives life at the tip of the spear. And what I mean by that is like you are not afraid. You know, you look at research chemicals, hormones, you know, other things, peptides that you would inject, bioregulators, and you're like, you know what, I want to use whatever I can to maximize my life, to allow me to live longer and stronger. And again, you know, if you follow me, I mean, I do things in a way that never puts myself at risk, right? Like my whole methodology of life, of using drugs or supplements or bioregulators or peptides, is start low, go slow, right? Like that's my entire theory. Like I've never in 30 years of using things, because again, I'm 54 years old. I've never, ever abused anything, right? So it's like, I've never taken more than a couple hundred milligrams, maybe 250 a week of testosterone. You know, I've experimented with every drug under the sun, but I've always just used microdosages. Same thing with peptides, same thing with GLP, same thing with, you know, bioregulators. So it's always, again, it's the, If I liken it to pharma versus Jay Campbell, pharma starts high and goes higher because that's how they make money, right? Like we give you drugs, we titrate higher. Eventually your receptors desensitize and it stops working, but we've drained enough money out of your bank account that we don't care. We move on to the next sucker, right? Whereas like in my world, it's like start low, go very, very slow, record what happens to you, you know, take copious notes, be very observant, and pay attention and obviously, you know, tweak this, dial this back, do that. So that's kind of like how the world that I live, but you know, to truly like quantify what fully effing optimized means is like you're hormonally optimized. You know, you're living your life at the tip of the spear. If you're a man, you're somewhere between 12 and 15% body fat year round. If you're a woman, you're somewhere between like 15 and 20% body fat year round. You're definitely using, you know, every tool, tip or trick or tactic under the sun. You know, you're at the edge of your seat. You know, like, you know, Mark Bell and I are like really big proponents of the fruit fast. You know, a lot of people call it the sugar fast, right? Yeah. But we've been out there talking about this. I mean, I can go so deep down the rabbit hole with you about that and talk about that probably at a higher level than anybody about it because I've been doing it.
No, I'd love to talk about it. We did a podcast recently where it came up, and
dude, it's without a doubt the most effective fat loss strategy of any diet. And again, that's coming from a guy who's written 3 international bestsellers on fasting, right? So, I mean, I know the science of fasting, but like when you can blow up FGF21, which is an endocrine hormone, it increases metabolic rate by 20%. And if you're doing everything else, and again, all the other things or everything else is like using mitochondrial optimizing peptides, using mitochondrial optimizing supplements like Sloop, like, you know, OS01, you know, there's all these new mitochondrial optimizers are coming into the marketplace. bro, you can actually increase metabolic rate by 30 to 35%.
So, right? You know,
crazy.
So we did a podcast recently when the sugar diet came up. Somebody showed us a question. And at first when I saw it, I thought it was Mark Bell just being the heel. You know, he's WWE, you know, wrestling guy. I thought Mark was just being contrarian. You know, he had the war on carbs. He was a, you know, the carnivore guy. And so him doing a 180 and doing in the sugar diet, I thought it was just him going heel. It was like when Hulk Hogan came out for MWF.
Did you flip your lid, bro? Yeah.
Well, but there isn't. There isn't, and maybe we just don't have research on it, but there really isn't any research or anything historically that would show that eating, you know, a high sugar diet leads to a positive outcome within the microbiome and the and you know really just hormonally. Like I mean, it could be
let me clarify. So you can't eat a high sugar diet and be healthy. You can eat a high fructose, which is obviously fruit sugar diet, in the absence, and this is the critical point, in the absence of protein and fat, and increase your metabolism by up to 20%. I mean, I can increase it by 35% with other things that I add on to it. And you will, without a doubt, if you're a conditioned athlete, like, dude, you're a muscular, lean guy, ex-NFL player. I could literally drop your body fat 5% in 2 weeks.
All right, tell me how.
Right now.
Let's do it right now.
I mean, I 100%, if you do it, it'll happen. It happens to anybody. I mean, I'm dying it right now. Look at what I'm drinking right now while I'm on this podcast.
I will. I have pretty much eaten a high protein diet, kind of low to moderate carb, moderate fat diet for, you know, like, you know, for the majority of my life. I mean, you know, when I came in the NFL in 99, I got a supplement deal with a guy named Mauro De Pasquale. And Mauro,
I knew Mauro well, the anabolic doc.
Yeah. So Mauro actually did all my diet stuff early in my NFL career. So we did the anabolic diet and it
works well, dude. It worked well.
It did. That initial kind of when I was 23 years old and he put me on it, like that initial deal that we did that first offseason after my rookie year completely remodeled to who I am today. And
of course.
Like, you know, I was, you know, 316 pounds, you know, probably 22, 24% body fat, like, you know, standard what you'd see for like an offensive lineman in the NFL. All of a sudden, like I do that. And like, I think in year four, I came in and I was the only guy over 300 pounds they'd ever tested in the bod pod under 10% body fat.
That's amazing, dude.
So, I mean, Mauro dialed that fucking thing. But
well, so just so you know, that's awesome, by the way. So, I mean, so at the same time, because you're just a little younger than me, you're like 4 years younger than me, 5 years younger than me. So Lyle McDonald, who wrote the Ketogenic Diet in Theory and Practice, we learned a lot from him. And that book came out in like, so I didn't help him write it, but I was like one of his crash test dummies because I was doing a ketogenic diet for 3 years. And it was actually a cyclical ketogenic diet, which was literally the same thing as what you were doing with the anabolic diet with Dr. Mauro. So all of that stuff works amazingly well. And I tell people this all the time. The only negative from that diet over time is that it slowly and surely retards insulin metabolism. And I'm sure you experienced that when you finally came out of it. But like the reality of the opposite, which we're talking about now, the sugar diet, which again, I hate calling it the sugar diet. I call it the fruit fast because that's the best way to say it. Because if you are eating nothing but candy, you're going to fuck up your teeth.
Yeah.
And likely you're probably going to, you know, do some stuff, you know, to the platelets or to your vascular your vascular architecture. You're going to create some sort of plaque buildup or some sticky, you know, adhesive or some senescent cells or free oxy radicals or whatever. But at the end of the day, if you're just eating fruit and you're doing this, you know, in a short term, the increase in phosphorus. So what happens is there's an enzyme that's basically responsible for the conversion of fructose in the liver, and it's called phosphofructokinase. And when you're eating nothing but fruit, again, critical in the absence of protein, in the absence of fat. So you're just eating fruit.
Well, just walk me through like what like one day of eating would look like for somebody.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I'll explain it and then I'll give you a whole week. Okay. I mean, so basically it looks like this. Like you upregulate phosphofructokinase from eating fruit, then increases an endocrine hormone called FGF21, which stands for fibroblast growth factor 21. That hormone, when it's in the presence of nothing but fructose, is burning glucose, which is ultimately what fructose gets converted to, like nobody's business. So all the fruit and fruit juice that you're drinking and consuming is literally enhancing your metabolic rate and getting burned off. So when you do this, your diet looks like this. And this, there's, you know, a couple people out there, Joe Bindley, Joe English on IG is the kind of guy who wrote the book on this. And, you know, shout outs to him because he's got, you know, an awesome book. It's called Fueled to Thrive. I'll send it to you after this email so you can have it.
Okay.
He really breaks it down from a science, lays it out. You know, now me and Mark Bell have our schedules and we're doing it out. There are tons of people following us for this. But my schedule is very simply this. On Monday, I eat nothing but bananas, crushed pineapple, crushed cherries, a little bit of raisins, applesauce, apples. And then I drink grape and cranberry juice. And my favorite is apple and cherry juice, which I need to go to the store and get some. And I literally probably pound down, you know, I'm 6'2", 212 pounds and about 6 or 7% body fat. I probably get somewhere between 450 and 650 grams of just pure fructose a day. Right. No protein.
Is there a number like, you know, like, is it a percentage of body weight? Like, you know,
it's a good question. If you really want to track your macros, you probably could. I mean, you know, Mark and I talk about this, but we get somewhere between 450 and say 650 grams of carbs a day. Now, One of the things about eating all nothing but fruit is it has kind of a built in caloric deficit in it because, bro, you just cannot eat that much fruit.
Sure. Well, there's fiber.
Like even like Mark makes his, you know, his ninja creamies, right? He freezes them and throws ice in them and just constantly drinking smoothies all day or whatever. But like, no matter how much you think you can eat, you probably can't get beyond 3000 calories a day of fruit. And even somebody your size, there's just this natural inborn like cutoff. Then you do the same thing on Tuesday. And by the way, you should be doing, so my training is either 3 or 4 days a week of lifting, and then I do cardio every day. My off days, I'm doing cardio. So you can do steady state or intervals. Here's the thing, like versus real fasting. And, you know, I wrote this book 2 years ago, which is a massive, you know, international bestseller called 30 Days to Shreds. And it's on no food fasting. It's so funny. I have to talk about no food fasting versus fruit fasting now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If I knew what I knew about fruit fasting now, I would have put a chapter in this book about this to give people the option, because when you're fruit fasting, there's no performance deficit. Mm. You have massive amounts of glycogen floating around in your system. Your muscles are full, your liver is full. So you can do unlimited amount of cardio, unlimited weight training. And by the way, in the absence of protein, you don't have any catabolism. You're not losing muscle. You're not going to like, you know, lose your gains because you're not eating protein. Because again, FGF21 is anabolic. In addition to it being lipolytic, it's also anabolic. And again, there's tons of studies and science out there to prove this. But then on Wednesday, let's say you train in the middle of the day, or maybe you train in the morning or whatever. After you train, you break your fruit fast and you eat dry starches like white rice, like sweet potatoes. And then you eat white fish, you know, scallops or shrimp, and you eat it all day, and you get a little bit of MCT oil if you want, you know, to get a little bit of healthy fat.
This is on Wednesday. Getting
fat from the fish.
So you've done the fruit for 2 days. This is the third day.
This is your third day, right? Okay. So you're fruit fasting in the morning, preferably for another, you know, 4 to 6, 8 hours, whatever. If you're lucky enough to train in the middle of the day or train around 11 or 12, then you break it after. And then you just eat your protein the rest of the day. You shut yourself down at 7:30, 8 o'clock, whatever you normally stop eating. And then you go right back into Thursday and Friday fruit fasting. And then Saturday and Sunday, and again, I'll send all this to you in an email or a laid out calendar if you want.
Yeah.
Saturday and Sunday is just kind of like you eat relative to your desire, right? So like, I wouldn't tell you to like pig out on Saturday and eat everything and you know, especially combine fat and carbs together. But you should just eat omnivore-ish, you know, clean most of the day. And then on Sunday, you really just kind of eat based on how much you desire to eat, right? A lot of people who do this, Mark's one of them and I'm one of them, we kind of dry fast on Sunday and don't eat anything. And then eventually, like late in the afternoon, go out to dinner with the family or just, you know, eat something, eat a couple meals, maybe drink a Mark Bell protein shake, like a steak shake or something like that with some fat in it. And then you flip it over and you start over again the next week. And you only do this until you get to your desired body weight. But dude, I'm not joking. In 4 days of fruit fasting, you can shred. Like you cannot believe how lean you get and how fast. And I wish that I was like a crazy person, but I know hundreds of people that are doing this and I have not seen a single person fail. from lean, you know, bros to fat people. Like every person sees this in metabolic, you know, call it fat shredding. It's insane. Dude,
you said that you're you wish you were a crazy person, but then you're wearing crazy glasses. So that's why I started laughing. But
you should be wearing glasses like this. You're damaging your eyes, not blocking the EMFs that are coming from the
shooting. Fuck, I know. It's all fucked up. I get it. I get it. Like,
I'm the crazy person.
I know. I'm the crazy guy. No, when I'm sitting, not in the podcast room, but at my computer, I have some computer.
I wear these at night, bro.
Yeah, computer glasses that I wear so my eyes don't get fucked up. Okay, so you made a great point where you talked about this is for both lean people and obese people.
Yes.
Does it work better on lean people or fat people?
It depends. So the only people that I would say, you know, and Nick Norwitz, I think you probably know who Nick is, you know, because Nick was battling Mark. He's the big Harvard researcher, the metabolic researcher about this. And then he started looking at this and he's raving about it. And people are all looking at this. I mean, this fundamentally, John, like it makes smart nutritional folks like myself, like anyone who's been following this data and this, you know, this world, like invert our knowledge or invert our awareness because it really fundamentally redirects our thoughts.
Yeah, this is fucking warping the matrix, dude.
No, I mean, totally warping the matrix. Yeah. But I'm telling you, once you do it and you actually look at the research, so I would tell, you know, I would go back to Dr. Morrow and Lyle and me in our early days. We knew about phosphofructokinase and we knew about fructose. What we didn't know is we were not looking at the absence of protein and fat.
Yeah.
So that's what confused us. But we always knew that phosphofructokinase was rate limiting to the amount of fructose that you could consume or that the liver could handle without spilling over. But we didn't know that you could eat pretty much unlimited amounts of fructose if you don't have protein and fat coming in at the same time. Now, Nick Norwitz proves that you can also do this with fat. So if you just eat fat, and you and I kind of know this with obviously our experience with the metabolic and the anabolic diet, I mean, not the metabolic, but the ketogenic diet, cyclical, that you could do that. But then again, it's like how utilitarian is it for somebody just to eat fat? I mean, who's going to sit around and eat butter all day?
No. I've told this story in the podcast before, but when I started working with Mauro, he wrote out my diet and he's like, we did basically 21 days of like the low carb. He's like, hey, it was 20 days. And he goes, on the 21st day after, like, you know, everything, like, you know, performance is feeling really good.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Berkeley. I was a nutrition minor and, you know, it was standard American diet. You need like 500 grams of carbohydrates. Protein's going to fucking kill your kidneys and too much fat's going to kill you. Right. So all of a sudden I go to the NFL. I meet Mauro. I get a supplement deal. He sends me this diet and I'm like, this is exactly the opposite. And I was like, you know, dude. You know, this guy's got great results. I read the book. Let's do it. So we did 20 days of his low carb. And then on the 21st day, he's like, I want you to get up. I want you to, you know, go out. I want you to lift weights and I want you to fast. And then that night, I want you to find an Italian joint and I want you to go in there and I just want you to eat to your full.
Go to work. Yeah.
So I go in, I order like a pizza and they bring it over like a, you know, like a pizza for like a couple people. It's just me. So I sit down, I crush the pizza and all of a sudden,
I need another pizza.
Oh, I start sweating and I'm like kind of hot, but I'm not full. So I was like, hey, can I get some pasta? So they bring me this pasta bolognese and I end up eating like four of these pasta bolognese. I think it was 2 pounds of pasta, this massive fucking pizza, a bottle of wine. And I was sweating so bad that the guy came over and thought I was having a heart attack. And I was living in Philly at the time. So I was in Center City. I walked back with like without a coat. It was like, you know, 30 degrees out, 25 degrees. And I walked with a coat and I was soaked through my clothes. And that next morning I got up and I was visibly leaner.
Bro, that was all FGF21.
And and I got up and Marl's like, how do you look? I'm like, oh dude, this is crazy. So then what
I had many moments like that with the cyclical ketogenic diet.
It was wild.
You remember that one, you would just eat all day Saturday and all day Sunday and ram as many carbs as you could get in. And then one day morning you'd wake up and you'd be dry and peeled and you'd be like,
fucking my head spun around. And so then what we figured out, this was kind of interesting. I would crush it on Saturday. And then Sunday I would get up. And if I was leaner, I got a meal. If I had smoothed over, I didn't eat. and I went back on it. Yeah. So it was kind of a veritable. It was either 6-1 or it was 5-2, and it all really depended. But that next year I came in and I was the biggest and the leanest, and like it was, you know, and that really just reshaped who I am. And like, you know, now I'm, you know, 48, like you're talking about 25 years, shit, longer than that, right? So what was I, 23? Yeah. So now, 48, 25 years. So I've been able to, you know, be big and strong, and I've been big and strong for a long, long time, but I've been in shape all those years. You know, I've gone through like this based on injuries and some other things, but like for the most part, like what you see, like that really was kind of crafted at that point. So I have a very fond memory of it, but I've always subscribed to a high protein diet because when Maro and I were going through that original deal, he kept talking about Vince Guaranda and the Stone Age diet. And, you know, that that was the early paleo diet. And that was, he's like, you know, this is how everybody should eat. So I kind of subscribed to that, which is high protein in a lot of ways. So now all of a sudden you got Mark Bell coming out with, you know, fucking Sour Patch Kids and, you know, all this type of sugar stuff. And it just,
see, that's the problem is like, and he even says this, like, you should not be eating candy. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're traveling and you're following this, your options are limited, and you can eat red licorice and you can eat, you know, Sour Patch Kids, and you can eat like gummies and stuff like that. But you should eat, like I said, for the dental reasons, the health reasons of your mouth. And also just because you just shouldn't be eating candy all the time. It's not good for you.
Yeah, but and it's got a bunch of shit in it too. It's got like red 5 and 40 blue and all that bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of other reasons, but if you just eat fruit and drink fruit juice and follow that basic structure that I gave you, the amount of body fat that you can lose and the amount in the short amount of time, it's insane. Now, again, you can do a all fat diet, you can do you know, Maro's anabolic diet or the cyclical ketogenic diet. You can do all those things and you can still get lean. There's many, many ways to skin a cat. The difference for me in doing all of them and doing the sugar diet is I'm much more energized when I'm doing the fruit fasting. I'm way more energized. You don't, by the way, people that do this don't have to drink coffee anymore. You don't have to take any kind of ergogens to speed up, you know, the brain or enhance focus or, you know, just accelerate your energetic production, because you wake up, you spring out of bed. And I'm not, you know, from a long-term standpoint, I don't want to advocate this, because I think everybody should be some sort of omnivore, you know, live insulin controlled, get enough protein for the musculature on your body, obviously get enough healthy fat, essential fatty acids and stuff like that. But to shred in the shortest amount of time, period, if you're a conditioned athlete and you've done it before, nothing beats the fruit fasting diet. It's incredible.
How often do you do it? Like, is it something?
So I literally just started doing it experimentally 3 months ago in my entire life. And I've done it. My wife and I are going to Aruba next Thursday, and we have a photographer hired like on Friday and Saturday to just follow us around and get a bunch of shots. And I'm just going to get a ton of photography for upcoming stuff that I'm doing, including my documentary. But you know, after that, I'm just going to live, I'll be there for 10 days. I'm going to go back to just eating like you eat right now. You know what I mean? Like, I regulate my carbohydrate consumption. I like to fast alternate days. I mean, again, that's the story of my books is like alternate day fasting. On the days that you lift, you eat, and the days you do cardio, you fast for 18 to 20 hours. And so I kind of just do a blend of that. And when I am eating, I'm eating whatever the fuck I want. I mean, I'm not pounding pizzas and drinking Mountain Dews and eating Cheetos, right? I'm eating healthy. Like you said, metabolic flexibility, I keep that. But I like this as a tool. I think this is the best tool that you can possibly use. And again, I like it better than my stuff, because when you're not eating, John, you get weak physically, right? Like, you mentally get tired. Your training suffers when you have no glycogen and you have no food in your body. Yes, it's good for your body. It's good for senescent cell removal. It's good for, you know, autophagy and hormesis and all those great things. But you're physiologically weak, and your performance definitely declines when you don't have food and glycogen.
Yeah. And then you just end up just fucking pounding coffees all day, which is what I end up doing when I fast.
This avoids that. This totally avoids that. And like I said, like, you, once you get into the deeper parts of it, like later in the week, I'm on Thursday now, your appetite is naturally decreased, but you don't see the size drop. Like, as you know, when you're fasting and you're not eating, your body gets smaller.
Sure.
Because you have no carbohydrates. But when you're doing this, your body stays the same. Like, you stay muscular. It's crazy. It's all I can tell you is it's really crazy. I highly recommend giving it a shot. I think you'd be blown away.
Is there anybody out there who's consistently doing this over like a longer period of time than 2 weeks?
I know. Yeah. I mean, Mark's been doing it for 5 months. I mean, I have friends that have been doing it for 3 months and they just continually get leaner and more muscular. You do get bored of it. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, eating fruit all the time is boring as fuck. I mean, it's definitely not something that I would like highly recommend, but like there are people that are experimenting, myself included, where the leaner you are, the more dry starch you can handle.
100%.
And again, Joe says this, like you can eat like literally sourdough toast, you know, with like cacao butter, which is stearic acid, you know, you could eat that all day if you want to. But if you want to get super, super lean, and I mean absolutely peeled, dried to the bone and shredded, it's got to be fructose. But it's crazy, dude. And by the way, just so you know, I want to say this for the audience and for the people listening, because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, he's crazy. He's going to destroy his inflammatory
Nobody
markers.
Nobody would think that.
Bro, I'm not joking when I tell you this. I have seen Mark's labs. And I read lab works for a living professionally, and his fasting glucose was the lowest I've ever seen on any person in my life, which literally would make any nutritionist say you're full of shit. That's impossible. He's literally drinking 600 or eating 650 grams of fructose every day. It's not possible. But again, this is what's happening, and this is my theory, and again, it's borne by the evidence now. You're turning your insulin metabolism back on. All these carnivore, which Mark was, keto people who have retarded their insulin metabolism over time because they never eat carbs,
yeah,
are now in the absence, or excuse me, in the excess of all these carbs. It's rebooting their insulin sensitivity and their insulin metabolism. And so now their insulin is like million miles an hour, and it's able to handle, you know, all of the fructose, again, due to the elevation of FGF21, and burn it all off. Well, so it's actually a metabolic reboot for most people.
Well, could it be the fact that he's just super lean? I mean, like the outcomes are pretty consistent. The leaner you are, the better the blood work. I mean, I've seen people with shitty blood work all of a sudden just lose 20 pounds. Like they lose 20 pounds and all of a sudden the doctor's like, we got to put you on these statins. They lose 20 pounds and all of a sudden the blood work fucking improves.
Yeah, well, dude, of course. Again, and that's all due to inflammatory markers. The lower body fat that you have, the less inflamed you are. It's just that simple. It's, again, cellular health. You know, you're the if you are a man and you have less than 12% body fat, you don't have a lot of inflammation.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
But
so
you are
you're going to have better cell health.
I tell people all the time that every time I've been sub 10% body fat, the amount, like, I have to wake up hungry, live hungry, and go to bed hungry. And the one thing that you did talk about with the GLP-1s and the GLP-2s and 3s and, you know, whatever the, I don't know what the title for all these new kind of weight loss drugs, but like that would actually be a pretty massive fucking weight off your back. Like, I don't mind being hungry. I don't have food noise, but just not being hungry, like, that fucking makes diet easy.
Dude, Retatrutide, which is the GLP-3 in a microdose, is what I consider a drug that every muscular man or woman, lean muscular man or woman, should use literally over the rest of their lifespan.
Wow.
And you can use this at 0.15, like women, small women. Like my wife is one of the most ripped 53-year-old women on the planet. I mean, people see her and they're like, Jesus Christ. And she uses a microdose.
You got to meet my wife, because my wife walks around like right around 12% body fat and she's fucking shredded.
Okay, send me a pic. I'll send you a pic of my wife too. But like, they're both freaks, especially compared to today's society. But my wife uses like literally like 0.10, which is like 1/50th of a weekly dose of Retatrutide from the clinical side of things. And I mean, she's always been lean and muscular, but like it's radically like shifted her metabolism to the point now where like people look at her and they're like, Jesus, dude. I mean, she's just a six pack, popping six pack at all times. And it's crazy, but like a man, I take 0.15 to 0.2, and I do it like every other day. And I take it on my, my lifting days on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And again, I'm using 1/25th of a weekly dose in the clinical trials, and it just does so many great things. Again, it improves nutrient partitioning and it enhances insulin sensitivity. It without a doubt increases metabolic rate. It's amazing. I mean, you know, it does so many good things. My labs prove and bear out that like I'm improving, my cellular health is improving, my biological age is lowering. So like, I just know that if you use these things in microdose fashion, it can do a lot of good.
You brought up, it's trazipicide, or what is it?
Tirzepatide is the GLP-2, and that's the Mounjaro Lilly drug.
What's the three? Rizipazide?
Retatrutide. It's also a Lilly drug, but it's not FDA approved yet. It's probably still 1 year away, but in the research community, we've been using it since 2023.
And it attacks three things, right? Isn't it glucagon, insulin, and what would be the third one?
The third one is basically enhancing or browning of brown fat, or enhancing brown fat or white fat. So it's like increasing metabolic rate by increasing the brown tissue formation or brown fat formation.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane. And so imagine stage four and stage five. Stage four will be myostatin inhibition added to it. And that drug is already in development. The CAS number is NA931. I think it's called Duotide or Duoglutide or something. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But it's right around the corner. And then the stage five drug is going to be a follistatin increaser too. So like follistatin has always been the holy grail. And so like if you can create a recombinant follistatin, you can enhance muscle tissue like at a rate of like one pound a week, and you can do it for like 3 or 4 weeks in a row with no adverse side effects, and also that lean tissue would be permanent.
Do you know the guys here in Austin from Mini Circle?
I'm very familiar with Mini Circle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Adil Khan.
I know Neil.
Yeah. So we went down and did a podcast with Adil down in Cabo, and he ended up doing the follistatin injection on me and Christoph. So I did.
So that follistatin, by the way, is follistatin 314. The follistatin that I'm talking about is like a recombinant, and it's like an FG236 or something like that. It's even different, but it's way better. Like Adil's is good. Like I've used that, FGF314, but the stuff I'm talking about that's coming in the pipeline is like literally you can take anybody and put muscle on them and they don't even have to train, and it's without side effects, and it's two shots. It's only two injections a month. It's insane.
Jesus. So what's going to happen to the fitness industry?
Again, people that train and people that live the life are going to always get better results, but obviously they're going to be able to take some people, put it this way, they will probably eliminate the side effects of all the sheep. So the people that do it wrong and don't know what they're doing and don't train and don't eat right will probably get much better results because of the anabolic effect of some of these things and the myostatin inhibiting and the recombinant follistatin, chains that they'll put on some of these things. So they'll basically just get better clinical outcomes in cellularly unhealthy people.
So
that's what's going to happen. But people like us, dude, will just literally get better and better and better and live longer and stronger.
Is it something where we're talking about like the elimination of like obesity and just like no more lunchy people, like everybody's going to look like they're stage ready?
No, that won't happen. Stage ready, you still got to live a life. But like, there will probably be less bad outcomes. But I mean, at the end of the day, dude, most of these people are so lazy and don't know how to eat right. And as you know, dude, in the United States, well, I shouldn't say the U.S., but the Western food supply is disaster at this point.
No, I know. I do.
I mean, everything is poison.
We source all of our meat from a local rancher down the road. I mean, it's farmers markets and different things. I mean, if you're going and going to a lot of these traditional things, man, you're in a
Pete Montes is a really good company that sends it out too. If you're familiar with that, they're awesome.
They do that super lean beef. There's actually a guy in Mason that does it as well. So we get stuff from them. So I'm in the beef capital of the world here in Texas. So I'm pretty lucky.
of course.
Yeah. Shit, dude. I had questions. I mean, but we fucking danced around so much. But if you were to send me a guide on peptides, I mean, there's thousands of peptides. I know this because Doc Parsley, who's my buddy, is a big peptide guy. And he sent me this like list of like just endless amounts of peptides. But like, what are the ones that would, if you were to put together like a stack for the listener who, doesn't want to trains, lifts weights, fairly active and wants to kind of like feel good, optimize, like what are like the ones that they need to be looking at?
Yeah, it's a great question. I always say this, like too many people who get into peptides now get all excited and wide-eyed and bushy-tailed because they're like, I want to do this and I want to do that. I want this, shiny object syndrome, right? So it's like pick one or two based on like what outcome are you looking to improve, right? Most people are fat, right? Most people have too much inflammation, don't feel well. So like I kind of look at them, I segregate peptides according to these like parameters. Like you've got your growth hormone agonist peptides, which are major needle movers. The three biggest ones are tesamorelin, ipamorelin, and CJC1295.
Those are the secretagogues?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, they're either GnRH or GRH. And so growth hormone releasing peptide versus a growth hormone. My brain just melted down. But there's two different forms. A lot of people will take TESA and IPA together or IPA and CJC together. So again, if you want the biggest bolus of growth hormone, but again, those peptides, John, are going to be the peptides that are going to increase natural growth hormone production. Mm. And obviously we all know what increased growth hormone production does. So those are your three primary ones. Tesamorelin is like the one for men because it removes belly fat really, really well. It's also, again, an FDA approved peptide known as EGRIFTA. And then I would move over to the healing or the healing restoration peptides. And again, most people know BPC, TB500. Thymosin alpha 1 is an amazing peptide for immunodilation or improving autoimmunity. And then there's like LL37, which is antimicrobial, you know, antipathogenic peptide. And then you've got VIP, which is vasointestinal peptide. So those are your biggest needle movers from like a healing and autoimmunity space. And then I would take it over to like nootropic. You've got like Solank. Well, the biggest needle mover in the nootropic space for peptides is cerebrolysin, but good luck finding it.
Yeah.
There's very few people that have it. They shut down clinics that attempt to manufacture or get it made from a compound pharmacy. So it's like very, very removed. Because it works, bro. Like,
yeah, no, I do.
I seriously know people that have used high doses of cerebrolysin to reverse early stage onset Alzheimer's.
Yeah, no,
Big Pharma can't have that.
Like I was saying, my doctor friend, Dr. Parsley, he was like, you know, especially for guys that have head injuries and fighters and, you know, a lot of like the SEALs that have this kind of like microdosing of like constant blasts, of the cerebrolysin is like a fucking game changer.
Amazing. It's so amazing. They actually, in the international community, I think it's in the Balkans, they have on EMS buses. So when they have like a person gets shot or they get into a, you know, a PTSD or some sort of like trauma-inducing blast, they inject them with a massive amount of cerebrolysin right when they put them on the ambulance to take them to hospital. But in the United States, you can't get it. Go figure. Then there's like Solank. Yeah. There's Solank. There's Dihexa. There's which one? C-Max. You know, those would be your next biggest needle movers right below cerebrolysin. And then if we're going to talk about mitochondrial optimizing peptides, which I think right now is like the biggest booming space in the peptide space, and that you've got so many that are amazing, but I'll just mention three that I love, four. SS31 is like the amplifier peptide. Everyone should be using SS31 who's on hormones because it amplifies, it improves androgen receptor sensitivity and also density. You can use less hormones when you're using SS31, and it's also very cheap. MOTC, I'm sure you've heard. MOTC is a very powerful mitochondrial optimizing peptide. It works really well in heavy people who are inflamed. And then you've got NAD plus injections, which are also a really good mixture to give people, increase people's NAD levels at the cell. And then 5-amino-1-MQ, a lot of people know that as an oral mitochondrial optimizer, but now it's involved, it's available as an injection, and we can't even keep it on the shelves. And I will just give you a hint. My favorite blend of peptides, and there's one other I'm going to mention, but my favorite blend of peptides right now is NAD plus, MOTC and injectable 5-amino all put together in a medical grade pen and injected. Insane energy. We're going to call that the metabolic blend. Anybody who's heavy and has inflammation, if you inject that, you instantly have energy and you want to go exercise.
Wow.
So it's like the Energizer Bunny peptide blend for heavy, you know, cellularly poor health people.
Wow. Damn. Well, dude, that's a pretty good starting point. So one of the problems with peptides, and you like, this is where hopefully you can bring in your expertise, is it's kind of a gray area in this like a research space where, you know, I know that there was a while there where you could get it from compounding pharmacies, and then all of a sudden the government fucking shut it all down. So then it moved into this kind of like experimental research side, and you know, you're buying stuff on the internet. Like, how do you approach sourcing and quality control with peptides? I mean, there's so much junk and there's so many different people selling it. Like, how do people look out? And more importantly, like, how do you figure out what the right stuff is? And then, because I think for a lot of the people that are taking peptides, they're like, oh, this shit doesn't work. They're probably getting bunk stuff and they're not getting anything that has what they say it has.
There's a very strong likelihood. Again, another great question. You have to make sure that where you're buying from is doing third-party testing and analysis, sterility processing control, you know, uses a lab that's both FDA registered, FDA compliant. Doesn't have to be FDA approved per se, because obviously FDA approved means it's a compound pharmacy versus research, which is like my company. You know, most of the good research companies, I mean, you are right, and I'll get to the bad guys in a second, but the good research companies are using the same farms, the same, you know, lyophilization processes and techniques. And a lot of times it's the same labs. Mm-hmm. As long as you're using a legitimate company, again, a Peptide Sciences, my company, BioLongevity Labs, that does a lot of money or spends a lot of money in testing and certificates of authenticity and, again, sterility processing control, you reasonably can assume that you're going to be okay. Yes, though, John, there are a lot of people that are brewing shit up in their kitchens and their bathrooms.
Yep.
And it's become a very unregulated, crazy space. The good news, though, in saying that is there's very low risk with peptides. Mm. I mean, again, like I said, the most that I've ever seen anyone is to get nauseous, to have, you know, dry heaving or something from taking a melanin cortoid receptor complex peptide that they just don't agree with. You know, they have a mast cell reaction to it. But I mean, you could literally, there's no such thing as ODing on peptides. It would be literally figuratively impossible. And that's why I also think that the FDA and various other, you know, alphabet regulatory agencies and bodies are not involving or getting themselves, you know, intermingled in all of the craziness that's happening in the wild, wild west of the peptide space right now, because they know that the harm that's being done is very minimal. And I would say that it won't be until, and I don't think you'll ever see this, but it would not, I don't think they would ever step in unless people were dying. And let me make a comparison. You know, the comparison was like the pill farms, you know, all the companies out there giving people codeine and giving them, you know, the prescription pill heroines and stuff like that. Those things were killing people.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of docs out there prescribing that. And so their job as a regulatory governing body is to intervene with that. Whereas in the peptide space, it's just not as big. You don't see it as much. And so that's why there's probably a lot less, call it, government intervention right now. But to your question, I mean, you know, buyer beware. You better make sure that where you're buying it from is, you know, doing the right things and it's been around in the marketplace for a long time and obviously offers you, the lowest risk from a safety profile.
So would you say, it makes sense. I mean, there's probably a few labs that everybody's kind of going from, but I would recommend if you're going to find peptides, find something reputable.
Here, I can tell you this. I didn't say this. There are four companies in the United States that are manufacturing and synthesizing peptides. We buy from two of them. A lot of the compound pharmacies are getting from two of the other ones and some of the ones that we use too. By February of next year, so 2026, there will be six manufacturing facilities online in the United States that are synthesizing everything, soup to nuts, start to finish. So most people now buy their raws from either China or India. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of them are finished as products in the United States. But again, there are four now that are doing a large percentage of their production in the United States in-house, from synthesization to lyophilization to finished product. So again, if you're working with any of those companies, you're fine. You have absolutely no risk. If you're buying them from Bill's Peptides, you know, in Waco, Texas, you probably have a potential risk. But even then, you're not going to die from injecting Bill's Peptides. You're just not going to get the highest quality. It might not be 99%, you know, purity process and assayed. It might be 85% mm-hmm. or, you know, 91% or something like that. But again, the risk to you from an injury standpoint or getting sick or illness is very, very minimal.
Mm. Okay. Fast forward 10 years. Right. Like it's 2025, 2035. We've been fast friends. We jump back on the podcast. What does this conversation look like when we're talking about peptides, aging, human potential? Like, what is that conversation in 10 years?
Yeah. I mean, who knows, dude? I mean, will we be here in 10 years?
I don't think so. at the rate at which AI is moving, I'll just give you a little thing. Like I was watching this deal on AI and I think it was, Bill Gates. Skynet. Basically, Bill Gates is like, we won't need lawyers. We won't need people. We won't need this and this and this. And he keeps talking about all the people we won't need. And I'm like, what are we going to do with those people? And then I saw a similar deal out of there, like kind of that same camp, that showed that roughly, I think it's 60 to two thirds. So call it like 60 to 66% of the world's population is in Bangladesh, India, and China. 96% of the world's pollution and really like the destruction of the earth comes from six rivers in that area. So they were showing like what would happen to the earth if you just got rid of that. And they just wiped out two thirds of the world's population, all the pollution, how like, you know, the ecosystems would return and the earth with this. And so in one breath, I'm listening to them talk about like, you know, every job that, you know, anybody is doing to for a wage, from, you know, flipping a burger to reading corp docs. I mean, this, everything will be done by AI. And then in the next breath, they're talking about getting rid of, you know, roughly two thirds of the world's population. And I'm like, I don't really know what to make of that. Like, I mean, they're not humanists.
It's very simple. It's very simple where we're going. I mean, obviously you and I see things very eye to eye. The transhumanists, the Bill Gates, you know, the Peter Diamandis, the freaking Ray Kurzweils, they see a world where the man and machine merges.
Yeah.
And that's what they want. They want less people. They want more compliant people. They want the go along, get along gangs. They want people, dude, that literally are going to be giant amorphous blobs who are beamed up into the freaking metaverse or whatever they want to call it, you know, the cloud. And then you've got like people like me and you are like, nah, man, like I want to keep my organic, sovereign, empowered, free human, you know, body and structure. And I want to keep living the way I'm living. So I see, and who knows how it ends up merging or going, but I see two timelines. I see the people who want to become and remain or keep their empowered, sovereign and free status as a human being. I mean, I think we'll be living in like communes or like, you know, camps in the mountains and stuff like that. And the big cities will just be like, again, all beamed up in the cloud, all transhuman, you know, lots of people gone. Like you said, I mean, sadly, I mean, it's a horrible thing to think about, but yeah, I mean, I think that's where this is going, because you're right. I mean, dude, I saw, it's funny you said that, because I just saw something last week about Grok.
Yeah.
And they basically said that the singularity now is going to be reached by the end of 2026.
Yeah.
So the machine will be smarter and faster and more powered and supered up than the human. So like, again, if the machine figures out, becomes purely sentient, why would it want humans?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what Elon Musk said when they asked him about it. He said, I hope the machines are nice to us. I mean, when I was out in Silicon Valley last week, meeting with some people, but there was some like AI stuff. And the one guy I asked, you know, we were talking about like energy needs, for example. I'm like, you know, one of the problems that they're running into at Elon Musk deal, I think it's in Tennessee, which is called the Colossus, I think, is the amount of energy that it needs. So now they're talking about moving all these to like Norway, where they can, you know, use cold and they can use seawater to try to cool it. But the energy thing is so impactful that it's going to fucking destroy the environment. And the comment when I asked them is like, okay, so how does that help us? And they're like, what they're hoping is that it gets to the point where it's so smart that it'll tell us how to fix it before that happens. I was like, so the end of the world's coming, but we're hoping that we just get it smart enough to where it tells us how to like flip the switch.
So insane. That's like going to Austin. I mean, because I know you live there, but like that's like going to Austin and seeing all the remote controlled cars driving around and how
I live kind of out in the country. So like, yeah,
the last time I was in Austin for the Dave Asprey thing in May, So I mean, I spoke there. We had a booth there, but like one of the things that blows me away is the young people that just get into these self-driving cars like it's nothing. Like,
I want no part of this stuff.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I wouldn't get in one of those things if my life depended on it. I cannot. But again, this is where we're going. They've created a hive mind culture. These young people believe that the machines love them and will protect them. Whereas people like you and I from our generation, we look at that, we're like, are you kidding me?
I saw The Matrix. Yeah, exactly. I saw Terminator. I'm like, there's no good part of this. I mean, it started in 1982 with the movie War Games of Matthew Broderick. You remember? He's like, shall we play a game? And then they do that. Like, I was like, I get goosebumps when I talk about this stuff.
It's crazy how people are thinking that. I mean, how can that be good?
Well, yeah. I don't understand the idea. Like, so one of the fascinating things is like, you know, being able to create like a language model, like, you know, dump the entirety of all your knowledge and create this language model where now you have this like living repository of who you are. I mean, all you need is a genetic code and the microbiome, let's say. And like, you know, you have your gut and you have your this. Yeah. I mean, humanoid, dump that thing in. And I think this is the idea of, like, you know, they talk about wanting to live forever. You know, if you put your consciousness in some humanoid, I mean, this is how they're going to live forever. I mean, people are. Personally, I don't want to live forever.
Yeah, dude, exactly.
Every time I see those vampire movies, and those vampires have been around for like 800 years, they always look miserable.
Of course. Well, but here's the other thing. Like, I mean, I, you know, again, we all have different spiritual, you know, beliefs and inclinations and stuff, but I fully know that our consciousness, the energy, our chi, whatever you want to call it, our spiritual energy is infinite. So we already do live forever, but like, why would you want to keep your one body in this robotic android that you can just like beam to body to body to body? You know, it's ridiculous. Like, I would
think
never
they're Satanists. I think they're just bad people, and they don't want it to end because they're going to probably go someplace they don't want to go.
They are transhumanists. They do want less of us. They do see us. I mean, you know, what's the guy, Klaus Schwab? He says, let's them eat bugs.
Yeah. Well, this was the,
what he says.
This was the Georgia Guidestones. You know, right. I mean, exactly. You know, don't let population go over 500 million. I mean, like they, like this has been,
Dude, have you ever read the book, The Protocols of Zion? Same shit. That's like, they just transferred that into the Georgia Guidestones. Yeah. It's crazy, dude, but there definitely is an elite group of calm humanoids. Maybe they are hyperdimensional. Maybe they're, you know, transmogrified from aliens that came here a long time ago. I don't know, but they really do look at us, meaning the wide swath of humanity, as bugs or as cattle, as sheep.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's,
lots of us.
Yeah. I mean, we make jokes that like, it's either, you know, lizard people or, some form of alien that came down, but I don't know. It, it just like whenever, and my question for the, you know, for the AI gurus was like, okay, if we know all this bad stuff and you guys haven't given me one compelling thing, why are we doing this? And they're like, because it matters to be first. You have to be the first to get there. And if you're the first to get there, you'll be fine. And I'm like, so we're playing the ultimate game of Survivor? They're like, 100%.
Dude, I'm like, God, but that's what's nonsense, because if you understand history, there have been many other technological upheavals. We have blown ourselves up. There was Atlantis. There was Lemuria. There was probably cultures and civilizations before that. I mean, there's been all these, like, call them, you know, what's his name? The guy.
Graham Hancock.
Yeah. You know, he's talked about the antediluvian, you know, the comet, whatever it was that caused that. But there were many more impacts previous to that. And so I'm sure there's been all these amazing human cultures that have come and gone before us. So like, to think that we're the only ones because we've now upped our technology to this level now is just stupid. And it's just actually an ignorance of past life, or not past life, but past culture.
Dr. Oppenheimer, you know, if you guys watched the movie that was, for the Manhattan Project, there was actually an interview with him many years ago, when this whole thing was going down, and they asked him, like, is this the most powerful thing that's ever, you know, come to the face of the earth? Like, how do you feel about this? And he goes, there are places around this world in India, and he
proved that they were already blown up.
Well, yeah. he goes where, you know, we've seen rock literally, liquefied into glass and fused. And the only thing that does that is this technology. So this technology has been on this earth before.
Of course.
And we've been hit with it before. So, I mean, it does make sense.
Dude, the reptilians hit us with nukes back then. I mean, you know, call them the lizard people, but whatever. But yeah, I mean, again, well, so to your original question, because it's a great question, is will we be here in 10 years? I hope. You know, I don't plan on physiologically being any less than I am now. I mean, I know I was better. I'm better now than I was 10 years ago. I don't have the recovery, as you know. We don't have the recovery. We can't go out and dunk on people. You can't go out and race a 25-year-old kid, right? But we can still stay strong and look good. We just can't recover like we did when we were younger. But I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I will definitely tell you that technologically, like in the biohacking space, which is kind of what I'm in, the delivery systems will be incredible. There won't be any need for injections. You know, like we already have a strip, you know, that's a buccal strip that you place on your tongue, and it immediately goes to the roof of your mouth, and it absorbs through the mucosal membrane of the cheek and gums, and it avoids digestive tract completely. So you already now have those mucosal, we call them biostrips, that are about somewhere between 65 and 75% as effective as injection. But you don't have to inject, and you don't have to deal with anything in the digestive tract, because as you know, almost all oral drugs are peptides or bioregulators. I shouldn't say bioregulators, but oral peptides they become denatured in the gut because they have to go through the large and small intestine.
Sure.
But if you can absorb through here and instantly get into first pass, or I'm sorry, portal circulation into the bloodstream, then you almost have like a non-invasive delivery system that's almost as good. And again, when I say 65 to 75%, that means it's just, you got to take two instead of one.
Sure.
And you're just as good as injection, right? So all these people that complain about not using needles and needle phobic and blah, 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 we've already passed that. And then again, I just know that like with the site injection technologies and recombinant, you know, follistatin and all the stuff that's coming, dude, I mean, in 10 years, it'll be, like you said, it'll be so mind boggling that we probably, I really honestly can't comprehend it. I mean, I know people will definitely be stronger, and I'm sure regressing in age from a biological age standpoint. But again, that's if we don't blow ourselves up.
Yeah, no, I, so like Austin's kind of the mecca for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So like I said, Victor's training for the CGI. So we went over and trained with Nikki Rod and Nikki Ryan and Damon and those guys from the B team. And I got to roll with Nikki Rod and a bunch of those guys. And they're all, you know, young studs in their 20s. So it's, well, I thank God that they took it easy on me, but it's always nice to be physically able enough to be able to go out there, compete, and sure, give some live roles. And it was funny at the end, the guy, Nikki asked me, he's like, how old are you? And I told him, and like, he like kind of shook his head and he's like, shit, dude, you know, you look pretty good for your age. I'm like, do you know anybody my age? And he's like, no, I just thought people died at your age. Like,
I know, dude, so, the young kids, they can't even comprehend people like us, dude. I know, the same thing. People see me in public all the time and they're like, they think I'm like 36, 35. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm 54. And they're like, fuck. You know, so you, I mean, there's no doubt you can keep yourself looking as strong as you were in your 20s and 30s. You just can't, again, you can't recover. Yeah. You can't go out and race somebody, bro. We'll literally tear our hamstring, you know? We probably could sprint with them if we didn't tear our hamstring.
Well, it's like, and I see this with the young guys. They just have more ability to just go longer. Like we were doing longer, like 10-minute rounds.
Yeah, of course.
And you just get to the point, and then all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to get a drink of water. And all of a sudden, you know, Fleep, one of our young guys just fucking jumps right in and just goes. And like they have the ability to just keep moving for a longer period of time.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know if it's just they're young and stupid like I used to be, whereas I'm like, I'm going to take a few seconds and grab a drink of water. I'll be right back. And maybe it's pacing. Maybe that comes with age. But I feel like if you, you know, eat well, you know, you dial all your hormones, you're making sure you're looking at all these peptides and you're really looking at like how to optimize yourself. And I also, I do know that you're big into the spiritual stuff. So, I mean, I think it's kind of spirit, body and mind. It feels like you got a pretty good solution in place.
That's it, dude. That's my jam now, is teaching people the importance of raising their consciousness. Because look, if we don't get enough people to understand this, you know, vibrational scale back here, I mean, we're definitely going to be food for aliens or food for the hyperdimensionals or the, you know, call them the transhumanists or whatever. Because like, I mean, if we get enough people to raise their consciousness, to stop fighting, to stop like, no, you know, thinking that like the Russians are our enemies or the Chinese are our enemies, because all humans are humans, then we wouldn't have any elites, you know, powering us and controlling us, because there'd be nothing to fight for. We'd all be like, hey man, there's no argument.
Fuck you.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah. Like fuck those assholes. exactly. Dude, this is a great conversation, man. I'm just kind of a little taken back. One, you are a very good podcaster.
Thank you, brother.
So like, it's very rare to like meet people that are, you know, interactive and kind of know how to do it, just because it's very hard. Like you lose 80% of everything doing through a screen. So, I just want to thank you for a badass podcast and also connecting, and, I'll definitely shoot you my contact information. And, I'm sure there's a lot more conversations in that. And, I'm definitely going to take your advice and maybe try the sugar diet. I felt like, I've been on the fence, but I'm always happy to always try everything. So we'll give it a shot.
No, it'd be awesome. And honestly, man, get on my email list, because I have an email going out this afternoon that lays out exactly what I'm doing and has it broken down by like Monday through Sunday. So, and then I have some tweets too, but I'll send you. But yeah, just email me.
I'll
and I'll get you my cell phone number. We can talk whenever.
I was going to say, as soon as we get done, I'll just text you my number and we'll connect there. So awesome, okay, dude.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was amazing. And thanks for tuning in another episode of Power Athlete Radio. Hey there, Power Athlete Nation. Big shout out to all the heavy hitters who stuck around till the final whistle. If you've been soaking in the knowledge bombs and epic tales we've been dropping for free, here's your chance to be a game changer. Swing by klfi.com/powerathlete and toss a few bucks our way to keep the podcast fueled and firing on all cylinders. That's ko-fi.com powerathlete.com/powerathlete. Your support makes a difference. See ya.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.